Jim Harrison is an American writer with a huge appetite for a lot of things. Wine, storytelling, France, the outdoors, dogs, religion. At 65, he's written 9 books of poetry, hundreds of articles, a pack of screenplays, and 7 novels, including Legends of the Fall and Wolf, both of them made into films. Harrison, who's published in 23 languages, is sometimes thought of as a distinctly male voice. His peers tend to be other gruff American male novelists, but his passions and his emotions and loves are universal. He's dropped by to talk about all of them, thoughts he's collected in a new memoir called Off to the Side. Jim Harrison, welcome very much to the show.
Thank you. I'm here.
You grew up in Michigan, but your 1940s and 1950s Michigan was a world that really, I think, a lot of us in the Midwest would recognize, full of trappers and farmers and hunters and working people. Tell us a little bit about your early world, would you?
It was just unexampled, totally orthodox farm life with cows, chickens, pigs, you know, general family farm. So that's sort of the ambience I was in until I was, say, 14. Everyone has a certain degree of geopiety, and it's what the French call the donné, the given in life. We don't question it, and as I pointed out there, we certainly didn't think of it as hardship particularly. I mean, if you hoed corn 12 hours a day, you also got to go swimming afterwards, that kind of thing.
And you had one of those sort of terrible rural accidents that I seem to remember from childhood. I guess this could have happened anywhere, but there seems somehow something rural about it. When you were 7 years old, you got seriously injured.
Well, yes, I lost my eye to a girl my own age, a neighbor. You know, kids get a little rambunctious. As I pointed out in that children's book, A Boy Who Ran to the Woods, it's our cures that are interesting, not our wounds. Everyone seems to have wounds, some lesser and greater, of course, you know, but how do we live with it, you know?
You have so very many male writers who you admire and enjoyed long friendships with. Tom McGuane, who lives in Montana, Phil Caputo, who was a fighter in Vietnam and has written some terrific books, Peter Matheson. I like the writing of all these guys, too, but I was wondering if there are any women writers that you admire.
Well, no. I mean, of course, I deeply revered Denise Levertov, who gave me a start as a poet, and Adrian Rich, and then all the way through, I keep in close touch with many women writers. I revere Louise Erdrich. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list is long indeed.
Tell me a little bit about what it means to be a writer from the Midwest, particularly the upper Midwest. Certainly some of the most classic American writers have come out of the Midwest. I studied Willa Cather in college, I remember, and loved so much, and Sherwood Anderson, and Upton Sinclair. And more recently, there have been new voices, but not a lot of them, it seems. You know, writing seems to have moved into the coasts.
That large experiential base has sort of disappeared. I think the origin of my interest in Nebraska for Dalva and The Road Home came from reading Cather. You know, I had to see that country. But I don't know. I think there's a tendency for writers to end up in the coast. And then I think it's just my claustrophobia that's kept me from being able to live in a, say, a more natural city. You'd laugh, but when I was in New York, there was one New York news program. They toward the end said they're going to have 5 minutes of news from outside of New York. That kind of thing. It's often forgot, you know.
I want to ask you about your novel, Legends of the Fall, for which you also wrote the screenplay. This novel, which is set in the West and which looks at the juxtaposition of the Native American and those who come in, had a personal connection to your family.
Well, yeah, it's actually my wife's family. She found William Ludlow's journals in a trunk.
That's her grandfather you just referred
yeah,
to.
Yeah, great-grandfather. He had led the expedition with Custer into the Black Hills and disliked Custer intensely, but I was able to use a lot of his journals and his report on that expedition, which turned out disastrously, because he recommended that the Black Hills be left to the sole province of the Sioux. So I just took this character and used the first third of his journals, then made him into fiction.
You have a beautiful poem at the end of your memoir. Would you be able to read us a bit from it to conclude?
The old days, yeah.
The old days.
Yeah, the old days. In the old days, it stayed light until midnight, and rain and snow came up from the ground rather than down from the sky. Women were easy. Every time you'd see one, two more would appear, walking toward you backwards as their clothes dropped. Money didn't grow on the leaves of trees, but around the trunks and calves' leather money belts, though you could only take $20 a day. Certain men flew as well as crows, while others ran up trees like chipmunks. Seven Nebraska women were caught swimming upstream in the Missouri faster than the local spotted dolphins. Basenjis could talk Spanish, but all of them chose not to. A few political leaders were executed for betraying the public trust, and poets were rationed a gallon of Burgundy a day. People only died on one day a year, and lovely choruses funneled out of hospital chimneys where every room had a field stone fireplace. Some fishermen learned to walk on water, and as a boy I trotted down rivers, my fly rod at the ready. Women who wanted love need only to wear pig's ear slippers or garlic earrings. All dogs and people in pre-concourse became medium-sized and brown, and on Christmas everyone won the $100 lottery.
Jim Harrison, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, thanks for letting me talk to you.
Jim Harrison, his new memoir is called Off to the Side.